Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to discuss some two-way go principles here for a Sunday strategy session. Really 6 points I want to talk about in this podcast, thinking about ways. We're doing a lot of startup drafts, doing a lot of rookie draft prep, getting into rookie draft prep, doing some orphan adoption, and tinkering with existing teams. A lot of my leagues now rolling over to 2022 on the MFL side, for example. And so that's going to open up new pick situations and the like there. So I want to talk about six things that I think are important from like a 30,000 foot view to really guide the horizon that you're looking at, right, in terms of thinking about where we're going. So just some things and some conversations I picked up on pods, or if I've picked up in the GroupMe chat, for example, or anything, just where I've been having conversations, just some things that I think are important to point out. So number one, there's lots of uncertainty at this point. We don't know what's going to happen. Right? We don't know what's going to happen with contract restructures. We don't know what's going to happen with cap casualties heading into the league new year. We don't know what's going to happen with potential quarterback trades. I was reading just before I was prepping for the show, I was reading a PFF article about potential trade candidates, and like the first 7 or 8 proposed trades that they did were all different quarterback trades. Okay, so there's a lot of uncertainty there that we just don't know about at one of the more stable positions in professional sports. Okay, so like when you look at these things, right, there's a lot of uncertainty just there and going forward. So and at other positions too, but when it's that much at quarterback, right, that's a lot of instability, a lot of potential change, a lot of uncertainty, right? You have concerns about, I'll use an example of a player, Michael Carter, right? What's his survival rate look like? What is his chances of not getting superior competition coming in, right? You have that sort of risk, right? That superseding risk to a player, right? Where a player is actually drafted ahead of them, or a player falls in the draft. You know, the Jets think that this running back has first round pedigree and should be a first round player, and all of a sudden he's available with them in the second or in the third, and they take him. And they didn't think they were coming in with a need, but look, lo and behold, he's the best player on their board, 20, 30, 40, 50 picks after, right, they thought he'd be off the board, right? Those things, those are risky things at this time of year, okay? Free agency, another one, especially wide receiver, right? Some of the tight ends as well, right? Like, there's a lot of things that can happen at this throughout this part of the calendar that make it uncertain. Injuries, suspensions, criminal complaints. I mean, heck, Deshaun Watson, who I'd argue is a top 5 quarterback when he walks on the field for a year, like that's how high we should have him in Dynasty. We don't know what his deal is, and this will get resolved within the next month would be my thing. I think April 1st is a good drop dead date to know if he's going to get criminally charged or not for a variety of reasons. The statute of limitations on those cases, I think the earliest alleged one was March 30th, and so it was a 2-year statute of limitations, and if they're going to charge him, they're going to charge him by that would sort of be my thought. I guess they could wait, but that means they're going to start losing the ability to charge cases, because once the 2-year statute of limitations is up, you can't charge it anymore, right? That ship has sailed. And there could still be a civil case, but if there's no criminal charges against Deshaun Watson, that clears up a ton of uncertainty. But you get the idea, right? There's a ton of uncertainty at this point, right? So I think with that, you really have to keep that in mind about situations and how what you want to invest in. Right? Do you want to invest in a top 80 guy, or do you want to pay a lot more to invest in a top 20 guy? Right? I think the nature of the security up at the top, when you look at warp curves, you look at all that stuff, right? especially now. Right? I think that that's even more exaggerated, right? So if you're looking at some of the asset curves and the like in the some of the warp chapters and that stuff, I think you're really going to see a steep decline. Right? I think even now you even treat it as it's going to be steeper, because there's so much uncertainty as you go down the position. So it ends up flattening out, and the market reacts to, you know, changing certainty. And then by the time the end of the season comes, like, we have more information and the number gets more efficient. But right now it's highly uncertain. So by the way, I've gotten asked for this, and I will be working on this project the next. I've been working on a deep data dive. So I will have some content regarding the core asset, star asset, supermax contributing assets, partial contributors, that sort of stuff from the book. I'll have that content coming out here probably in the next week or so. So I'll have probably a couple posts. I don't usually do a ton of written content, but I'll have something in a written form so that way you can look at it. I just want to get a little bit more market data before I have been hesitant to sort of do that, because I want enough market data to actually feel confident in it. And so that's going to be probably a project here over the next week or so to get that out to you. So just FYI, I know people have asked about that. But a lot of uncertainty. I want to sort of wait to get a little bit more clarity on some data before I start making declarative statements on those tiers and the like. So so with all that uncertainty, I think the number two thing is stay flexible. And so what do I mean by that? Like, Chad and I had a really good conversation, I thought, on the Football Guys podcast the other day. And I have a strong feeling, but he's like 103. There's like 103 and maybe like a future second or something like that, or future third. It wasn't anything super meaningful. I think it was a start one quarterback league, and it was for Derrick Henry. And like, my initial thought was, I'm going to like the player at 103 at 103 less than I like Derrick Henry, was sort of my initial reaction to that. And so I answered Derrick Henry, and I almost instantly regretted it. Not because I don't think that whoever is going to come in is going to be better than Derrick Henry, but I don't like I don't like giving up that power, right? And I think, honestly, it's one of those deals. If I don't do it right now, is it going to go away? Who is going to be my competitor for a deal like that? Is it going to be a 101 or 102? I don't think so. Is that deal going to be, and the problem at 101 or 102, depending on the format, is that team is probably not contending or doesn't think that they're contending. They're rebuilding. And they're not probably going to be a buyer for Derrick Henry. And then you start going further down the board. Well, is that person going to trade for like 106? Is that the deal they're going to make? Because at that point, it seems like you'd just rather hold Henry versus this, whatever asset you're going to get there and what is perceived to be a down class at this point. There's got to be a break-even point there. There's got to be a point where you really... they're not going to make a deal going much later, and the people up above are probably not going to be making, at 101 or 102, probably aren't going to be in the business for that type of deal. And so you think to yourself, all right, well, why do I make the deal right now, right? Some of those deals you have to do, right? Like, some of them you can't say, hey, like, maybe it will get better, right? Sometimes if you have a buy low, if you know that the deal is a really good deal, you just take it then, right? That sort of thing. If it's not a high-end asset, again, you're not going to tie up liquidity, whatever, right? You know those when you see them. Like, you pounce. Like, you don't wait. Like, this person's going on a fire sale, right? This is a spending, a selling spree, if you will. And you're getting those types of offers, or you hear league chatter, you see on the block, right? You kind of know there's an urgency there. If you're sort of engaged in negotiations, you kind of have to have that happen. But in a situation like this one for Henry, it didn't, as I sort of thought more and more about it, and we talked more and more about it, I was like, I don't really need to do this right now. Right? And And I can probably do a deal for something similar, for a player similarly cost at a lower price at some point, right? And do they have the same upside as Henry? No, but again, I have Henry, sort of fundamental concerns about Henry, and his production profile. So all that to me was like, listen, I don't necessarily think that when the clock comes to me in April or May or whatever my rookie draft is, maybe the player there won't be better than Derrick Henry. But by taking Derrick Henry now, I'm exposing myself to a whole bunch of forces that, and eliminating a whole bunch of forces that I want to be on my side, right? Which is flexibility, which is I can capitalize with a certain asset, 103. I can capitalize on uncertainty if it becomes beneficial to me, right? And I just think in the context of a situation like Deshaun Watson, right? If you did this deal last year, you know, it's super flex, right? You give early to mid first for Derrick Henry, and then you know, let's just assume for the sake of argument that the Deshaun Watson story happened this year, or it's a different quarterback, right? The same thing happens to, quarterback X, who we value really highly. I'm not going to besmirch anyone's name. But you sort of get the idea, right? If you use the pick now on Henry, you don't have the option to do that, right? If you did this deal last year, and it was for, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you lost the ability to probably make a trade using that pick for Deshaun Watson, which would have been an easily gettable Deshaun Watson share. And so, you know, mid-firsts were like plenty attainable, and that's sort of how I would equate this in Superflex. So you sort of get the idea, right? If you do that deal now, like that player may be better. The Derrick Henry side may be better than the rookie that you get, but you forego all the other options. So I kind of talk myself into like, hey, let's just stay liquid there. And so I think that is something to remember right now. What is a good trade in, and this brings me to the third thing, is what is a good trade in April may not be a good trade right now, right? The Derrick Henry side, it might be on the clock. That might be a beneficial trade. But you give up a whole bunch of upside. You give up a whole bunch of flexibility to do it now. When you do it now. And so that's, I think, a major thing that I would just sort of have you think about. So if we're talking about it in the group chat, or we're talking about it, you know, or you're thinking about it, you know, just on your own time, why am I making this deal right now? Right. And I think another thing to sort of think about in this particular light is, am I making this deal right now to address a need, right? And if I'm trying to do that, I'm probably doing it wrong, because you don't know in February what a need is going to be. Sometimes there are obvious ones, right? And we could debate this and debate about how we think about this. But I think the position that you truly have a need in, right, and you kind of know that you have a need in, is quarterback. Right, if you've had Brady retire and he's your quarterback two, and you've got, you know, Tyler Heineke now as your quarterback two, right? You have a need at quarterback. That's probably true, right? But otherwise, in the other positions, like, you don't necessarily know that, and positions that you might think are a strength aren't a strength, right? So what might be a good trade in April or in August might not be one now. And so that would be the thing that I would just point you towards is be careful on the addressing need issue right now, because you don't know what they're going to be. And if you do it in a way that ties up future flexibility, which we'll get to in a minute, it precludes you from making a deal when an actual need arises. Okay. And so that would be the thing that I would say in this, right, is what may be a good trade at a future time might not be one now, because you're tying up flexibility. You're going to make your roster address what you think is a need, or structure it in a way that might not allow you future flexibility or future a future deal that might actually address a need. So, and I could do, and I should do this, and I probably will do this. I'll just keep track of things that we believe in, and like March of 2022, and then write about it in January of 2023, put it in the next book, and about all the things that we believed in right now, and just see how wrong we were, right? Almost like a time capsule. Every year that happens, right? You just go back like Calvin Ridley, like just think of the impact Calvin Ridley made last year, right? In terms of that stuff, right? You know, that DK Metcalf and AJ Brown were ascending to, or to whatever, right? All those things to stardom, right? All those things, you know, that we sort of presumed to be true weren't. And as a result, teams that had a core of, you know, really good players, right? If you had, you know, at this time last year, if you had Deshaun Watson, if you had, you know, McCaffrey, Barkley, Ridley, right? You had these guys, you're like, wait a second, what happened over the course of a year? So again, you're addressing needs right now at a time that's really bad to address needs at, unless it's quarterback. That would be the thing that I would say. So at quarterback, if you have a need, try to fix it. And typically this is the position where in Superflex, I want to pay up for it. I don't love trading future first for wide receivers. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's probably a waste. You know, would I trade a future first for Justin Jefferson? Sure. Jamar Chase? Sure. But I don't think, like, by and large, when you start looking at the warp stuff, and there's not a ton of difference between wide receiver 30 and wide receiver 15. So why would I pay wide receiver 30 and a first for wide receiver 15? It makes zero sense to do that. I think that's a bad idea. I'm probably going to do a breakout video on that more and more. But that's always a place where you want to sort of, like, if you do that, you're just subjecting yourself to the whims of variance. If you're making those trades, you're totally subjecting yourself to variance, and not in a way that's embracing it. Okay, so that would be the thing that I would say about like structuring trades right now. Is really the two points. You know, is it you know, what's good in April or August might not be good right now. And if you're addressing a need, be careful that's actually not a need. You know, pay up a quarterback, right? You know, do I want to give a first in a wide receiver 30 for wide receiver 15? No. Do I want to give three firsts for a top six quarterback? Yes. Right? Like yes. Like those are deals that we will do, right? You know, those are things that are okay to do. And those fix problems, right? And we talk about, you know, the AOD lexicon, right? My story about the garage door, right? My garage door didn't work for like a year because I'm an idiot. And I was like trying to tinker with it. And, you know, I never had a garage door opener on my side of the garage. It's just a fiasco. So I buy a couple garage door openers. You know, I have to walk around, you know, we lost it. And, you know, it's a whole long story, but long story short, I have to walk through my front door, go around, open the garage door from the inside every time I want to use the garage door, right? This goes on for, I don't know, 6 months. And by the way, on the other garage door, I'd never had a garage door opener for it. So finally, I buy the doors and I try and put them up. And I spend like 3 weekends trying to do it. They weren't the right ones, and it was the whole thing. And finally I just called the guy and I was like, can you do it? He goes, yeah, you got to go return the ones you have, buy new ones and buy this brand, this size, yada, yada. I'll come do it. You pay me a couple $100. And it cost me, right. It cost me a couple $100 but I fixed the problem right now. I can back my car into the garage and not have to walk around my house like an idiot. Okay. You know, can you get away with starting Matt Ryan? Yes. Can you get away with starting Jared Goff? Yes. The problem with those strategies, you know, can you get away with starting trying to find this year's Tyler Huntley? Yes. The problem with those things is it forces you to be right at the other positions. Okay. You have to be right because you can contend doing that, but it forces you to be right at the other positions in a way that's really hard to do. If you just spend the money to go be elite, right? If you just fix the problem, right? And in my garage door example, it wasn't even that big of a problem. It wasn't even that expensive. But I instead of being a stubborn goof who was just like, no, I'll fix it, or but you know, I don't need to call anyone, whatever. I just fixed it, right? I paid up and I fixed it, right? That's, I think, if you're trying to do trades right now to address needs, they need to be that type of need, right? Otherwise, make good dynasty trades and you'll figure out your needs later on. You'll figure out how to address needs later on. But build a good team, make good dynasty trades, but don't be trading for need right now. And if you need to trade for need, you know, do it in a way that doesn't address it at a huge outside of quarterback. I would encourage you to, if you truly have like needs where it's like, oh, I need wide receiver 3-4, that type of thing, like, don't pay premium prices for it. You can use your premium assets for it later on, right? You can, you know, and we'll talk about those as well, but you know, because in a lot of ways, and I talked about this in the book, it becomes cheaper to address a need at the trade deadline, because especially at wide receiver, because you have a whole bunch of teams that have good wide receivers that didn't bring them that far, because wide receivers don't bring you that far. And so what will happen? You will have a lot of wide receivers that are available on teams that aren't contending. Devontae Adams last year, that you can trade for, right? Devontae Adams was great. Right? It's tough for that position to carry you really, really far. It just is. And so those guys are disproportionately available at the trade deadline. So those would be things that I would generally point you towards. Again, what's a good trade now might not really be, or what's a good trade then might not be a good trade now, vice versa, right? What might be a need now might not be a need in 6 months. And, you know, you have to, or what you think is addresses a need right now might not. So, you know, so all those things, right? That's just timing of these things can be really, really important. So I think that's a general catch-all principle 3. Number 4 is think about how, you know, as you're sitting here right now, how's your team going to compete this year? Right? And you have like 5 firsts. Okay. Like I have a team that has 5 firsts on it. I think it's all the odds. It's pretty close to all the odds. It's 101, 103, I think 105, 10, or 107, 109, and 111, something like that. One of the middle ones is left out, but I definitely have 103, 101, 103, and then 3 of the later ones. And I've got good quarterbacks, right? I have Russell Wilson, and I've got Deshaun Watson, right? So if they play, I'm going to be competitive. I'm absolutely going to be competitive. Well, what do I do? Do I want to lean into drafting rookies, right, the end of the first round? No, I went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. Right, I made a trade with a mid-first and got Dallas Goedert. They're not earth-shattering trades, right? But again, if I want to expose myself to upside, right, if I want to compete this year, what are a couple of things that could compete? Well, Deshaun Watson getting traded to Philly's one. But Deshaun Watson playing and Dallas Goedert, like, taking the step forward that I think that he can take, especially in a post-Zach Ertz world. There's a lot of reason to think that in a post-Zach Ertz world, they didn't even need to throw it a ton more for him to make more of a difference, right? If they threw it a ton more, he would be Mark Andrews. But, right, that's a way that I can compete this year. That team can compete this year under a couple premises. Deshaun Watson plays, Russell Wilson plays. They play what they're capable of. I've got, you know, 3 more firsts, but I now have some wide receivers. I filled some depth at wide receiver with a late first, and I got myself a good tight end in a safe leagues format, right? And now I'll backfill with, you know, I got a potential couple running backs early in my rookie draft. And I've got other assets I can trade, right? If you have that many rookie assets, like, you should compete this year, right? You shouldn't be. I really would encourage you to think about competing this year, and think about the trades that you can make. Okay, again, this is going back to sort of the idea of, you know, if you're pay for it now. Right. And one of the things that I really like about having extra rookie picks is that I'm not paying for things on credit. I don't really like doing that. I don't have credit cards in my real life. I really don't like doing it. Right. I got gypped into it for for school, right? Because that's the way it goes, and you are paying for it forever. But besides that, right? Like, if you can't buy it now, right? There's you probably don't need it, and you're going to be paying for it forever, right? So don't do that, right? I'd rather pay for assets things now, right? You know, instead of giving a 2023 first, right? I don't. There's too much uncertainty in that, in a bad way. But pay it now, right? Figure out a solution to fix it now, right? In terms of present assets, right? That's, I think, one thing that if I have all these guys, all these picks right now, you know, use them, right? You don't necessarily need to use them on rookies. You don't need to trade all of them for vets, right? You can do a blend. But do a blend in a way that makes you competitive, right? Because that's a lot of assets, right? And so just, you know, I don't want to trade future assets, but if I have them right now, right, and I've sort of stockpiled them, right, that's what they're there for, right? They're not just there to pick rookies. They're there to make your team better. And that's how you should be thinking about them, not just picking with them. But that's not to say I just want to go willy-nilly on future picks. So I'll get to that in a minute. So again, I want you to think about how your team can compete this year. Especially if you think your team can't compete this year, think about how it can compete this year, and really spend some time thinking about it. And if that's hunting for a couple wide receiver upgrades, or you know, increasing your odds at tight end, or whatever, right? Maximizing your roster efficiency, whatever, right? That needs to be what you're doing right now. That needs to be it. Okay. The next thing up is so this would be number 5. Think about 2 to 3 year window moves you can make that can make your team either more competitive or have it be upside. And so again, the Goddard things, I think kind of on point there. You know, making a trade for, you know, I saw an interesting trade for Waller the other day. Someone was discussing it. I want to say it was like a mid to late running back one for Waller. Maybe it was Gibson, something like that, for Waller. I was like, yeah, right. That's a really interesting deal. It was tight end premium. It was like really interesting deal because I think you have, that's the type of thing that can totally make a difference, right? Like that can really, really make a difference if Waller plays really well. Like that's the thing over the next 2 to 3 year window can make a huge difference. As you sort of come down the board a little bit, like your wide receivers sort of in your 15 to 30 range won't. Generally speaking, like they're not going to make a huge difference, even if they hit for like a top, you know, 6 to 12 type finish. Like that's not that consequential, right? If they go Cooper Kupp, they go Cooper Kupp. Like that's awesome, but we're not going to bet on that. How can you sort of use guys in that range to give you a higher level players at other ranges, right? Thinking about moving up your core asset chain. That would be stuff that I would think about. You know, if you have a nice developmental guy, Devonta Smith's a good example of this. Devonta Smith's fine. Like he's fine. Is he going to change the world? Probably not. Right. If he's going to turn into being kind of an innings eater, that's fine. But at this point right now, he's not valued like that. And so do you want to sit and sort of take him, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years and use him as an innings eater? You could do that, or you can use him as an asset to get a big time difference maker, to try and get a big time difference maker. And maybe that's a depressed asset. Maybe it does include taking on some risk because you think you're giving up a stable player, but it might increase your championship equity, right? So I would think about those things. And again, the question you have to ask yourself is like, how do I make myself more competitive in the next 2 to 3 years? Right, those would be things that I would be stressing now to think about, right? To think about. And that's not to say you need to trade away all your Devonta Smith shares, but right, thinking about those things, like which one of these assets is going to can make a big difference for me over the next 2 to 3 years in terms of increasing my championship odds. Think about and try and acquire players like that, right? And worry about the fit and the position later. The last thing is this, and I think this is an important point. I'm willing to trade future assets. I'm willing to trade future rookie assets. I'm willing to trade future firsts. However, and I think that this is an important caveat. I see this a lot going on at this time of year. People ask me this question a lot. I set a rule for myself. I am strict with this rule. It's pretty simple for me. If I'm not getting a top 30 asset in a rookie draft or in a top 30 startup asset, I'm not trading my future first. Why? Well, a couple of things. If I do that, I don't make stupid decisions, right? I give myself that, right? Listen, it's got to fit in this box. Can you be more flexible? In theory, yes. I would sort of encourage you not to be, for a couple of reasons. One, if you start doing that, a top 30 asset turns into a top 35, it turns into a top 40, and then all of a sudden you're giving it away for, you know, 65 overall. And I you can't do that. Okay, that's a bad bet. It's a really bad bet. And it's forcing you to beat the odds, right? You're taking a negative EV bet there. You just are. Okay. That's something you don't want to do. Especially when you consider all the other things that you could do with the pick. Okay. You know, that's something I do not think that you can do. Okay. So I set sort of a firm line at 30. Okay. And I would encourage you to do the same. If you're not getting a top 30 player back in the deal, don't give your first round pick. That's sort of the rule that I live by. In the off season, that can change in season. I don't really want to talk about that because I don't want to encourage people to do that. But I would say it changes for two reasons. It changes because I have a little bit more definition on where the pick is going to be, and I have a little bit more definition on how the player can help me, right? So those two things make me a little bit more maybe aggressive. And sometimes it's not as easy to get those elite pieces because there's probably a pretty good chance they're on contending teams. So you kind of have to change your mindset. Okay. But that's not the case in April or March or February, right? Like, that's not the case, right? You don't know all those things for all the reasons that we talked about. There's a ton of uncertainty. And so that would be the thing that I would say about that. And especially if you're trying to address a need, because you don't know. You don't know if it's actually a need or not. And you don't know if it truly is a need. You don't know if the first that you're sending is actually going to address it in December. And that's not to say you wait until the trade deadline to make a trade, but there's other ways to go about it than trying to fix that problem by sending a future first. The other thing that I would say is, like, when you start looking at the odds, right, outside the top 30 picks, right, the odds tend to fall off pretty, right? It becomes kind of a steep decline. So the difference between 30 and 50 is big, right? That difference is kind of big. And so you don't, right, there's a steep decline there, and then it goes to level off. So if you think in top 30, I think that that's really where you're aiming for. In terms of, if you're not getting a player of that quality, don't include a future first. And honestly, if the player's like not of that quality, there's probably going to be a time where you're going to be able to structure a trade for a player very similar to that for a cost that's not a future first. Okay. So just think about arbitraging, right? By waiting on doing that deal, you're just playing a long arb. You're just playing a long arbitrage. And that would be something that I would really encourage you to pump the brakes on trying to give away the future first. Don't be the guy that everyone's shopping to buy their future first, because that can be a very dangerous spot. There should be, again, I'm willing to do that more than I was in prior years. Those need to be, you know, tactical strikes, not carpet bombing, right? You don't just spew them everywhere, right? They're sort of laser guided missiles. And you do it for high price players because they have a lot more certainty. You don't do them for packages, for example. Like, you don't say, hey, I'm going to trade a first, you know, a 2023 first for, you know, three guys that are in the 80s. Right? That's not usually a good idea, right? Like, that's not what you want to do. Okay. You want that to be, hey, listen, I'm going to give this future first, and it's going to be, you know, and I might need to add to it, right? I'm not just saying that you give, right, your currency for a top 30 guys a future first, but you can add to it, right? And you can add to it in ways that don't debilitate you, right? Like, you can, again, do it in a way that doesn't, you know, that's not going to sap your core, right? You can send multiple pieces, right? You can do a variety of different things. You can send multiple first, right? And it's okay. But again, they need to be elite players. And so that would be the thing that I'd really caution people from doing, right? Don't just carpet bomb your future first. Tactical precision strikes. Almost very much the opposite of what you do at our running back position, right? We're just kind of carpet bombing the running back position, right? Just take as many shots as you can take, right? Trying to sort of pinpoint surgical strike the running back position is really not a great approach, because all of the backups are subject to the same forces, right? Of their guys getting hurt or whatnot. So there's not a huge, huge difference. Like Darrell Williams and Tony Pollard, like there wasn't a huge, and there really isn't a huge, huge difference between the two of them. Ultimately, Pollard's more expensive because he was drafted higher. He's younger and he's got a sexier name, and brand. But if Darrell Williams got that job, they'd perform relatively similar. And, you know, and we've seen that over and over again. So, you know, that's a situation where it's a little bit different, right? But with your future first, I think you need to be careful and you need to sharpshoot them. So that's sort of my thought. Again, those are kind of six principles. It's not really, you know, whenever I number anything, it becomes like a bunch of A's and B's, like, you know, 4 A, B, C, and D, and then 5, right? So, but you get the idea. So again, just to run back over them, there's lots of uncertainty. Stay flexible. What might be a good trade in April or August is might not be one now. Think about how you can make your team compete this year. Think in 2 to 3 year windows about maximizing your winning odds, especially if you're contending, and be willing to trade future first under the caveat of top 30 assets, right? Top 30 assets, and return, right? And you can add to them. You can add to your future first, but top 30 assets, right? Shoot high, shoot very high. And that's sort of the position there. So, all right, those hope six principles that can help you out as you're sort of doing your thing. Again, this week I will have combine coverage. We'll do nightly pods. I'm going to, I got some team stuff still coming out here, as well. I will have some hierarchy of asset needs here coming out over the next couple weeks. So really over the next couple weeks, you're going to get combine coverage every night. You're going to get, every night of the combine that has relevant data, I should say. So it's like Thursday through Sunday, I think, or Thursday through Saturday. I'll have to check the calendar, but you'll get it, when it's relevant. I'll have some more team stuff for you in terms of changing coaching staffs, changing GMs and that stuff, which has been fun to kind of look at and dive into. And then, we'll have a core asset. We'll have a hierarchy of assets. So by like mid, that it's kind of your content through basically like mid March ish or so. Just think kind of along those lines. It'll be covering those big topics. So, we'll be doing trade shows. I'm going to probably, have some more people on to do some strategy sessions as well. So, all right, that's going to do it for this show. A little bit longer Sunday strategy session. I hope that's helpful. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.